And Kathy Dosnell, along with Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole, 537-1350. I know we frequently have folks want to check in with you a little bit, or toll free 866-776-1350. And we're actually going to take a look at the state legislature. They're finally wrapped up, very lengthy session. And when you walked in the door, you said actually some good things from that, some positive things. That's always encouraging.
There were some good things that happened this year, and the community mental health system in general needed to have some good things happen this year, because we've had so many years of cuts to our funding that we reached the point really that the trajectory we were on was unsustainable. And there are still some changes that need to happen, but I do feel like we have in some sense turned a corner. And that is a huge relief to all of us who are committed to serving the communities that we're in and the people who have mental illness and substance use disorders.
Now, I know one thing I'm guessing you're going to say, because we had Senator Tom Hawke talk a bit about it Monday, was when you're talking about the concealed carry, and that was huge. I know that bill that went through on that was pretty important.
Yes, and that was one significant concern for the community mental health centers. As you know, the law was going to require that effective July 1st, state hospitals, including the state psychiatric hospitals, community mental health centers, and other public organizations were going to be required to allow concealed carry or to invest make significant financial investments to secure all of their buildings. For our organization, the prospect of having to spend a lot of money to secure the entrances to our building, of course, was just not something that we were going to be able to do. And so we were quite concerned about what direction the concealed carry exemption was going. And as you know, the legislature did override the governor's veto of that bill. And so consequently, effective July 1st, the state psychiatric hospitals, as well as the community mental health centers and some others, will not be required to allow the concealed carry of weapons. So that for us was a good thing.
And on other levels, too, I know financially and looking, of course, at Osawatomie and some of the issues, even Larned and some of the facilities, it's hard to believe it was the beginning, I think, of last year when we did our series on mental health, and things were pretty dire back then. So
they were.
They're improving, I hopefully.
They are improving, and it's, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. But again, I do feel that we turned somewhat of a corner this legislative period that we really needed to turn. Another one of the things that happened this year was that first responders and, specifically I'm referring to EMS, are now authorized to administer naloxone opioid antagonist, which is something that can save lives following opioid overdose. And up until this year, EMS had not been allowed to do that. And so if they came upon someone, in their home or the community who had overdosed, they had to get them to the emergency room before that could be administered. Now, with action that was taken by the legislature, they're able to administer that as they encounter that individual. Another thing that happened that was separate from that, but that is related, is that KDADS, or the Kansas Department of Aging and Disability Services, was recently awarded a two-year, $3.1 million grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for the prevention and treatment of opioid abuse. We've all heard in the news that opioid abuse and addiction is becoming a significant problem across our nation, and there's an escalation of deaths that are related to opioid addiction and overdose. And in the press release where this $3.1 million grant award was announced, there were some statistics that were cited, which really were quite alarming to me, and something I certainly, even in in my role as director of substance use services for Pawnee, had no idea, but Kansas is the 16th highest opioid prescribing state in the country. That was a statistic that really was quite shocking to me. And so we have access to this grant. The purpose of this grant is going to be to work to prevent and treat opioid addiction and abuse in Kansas. The way that the state is going to manage that is they're issuing requests for proposals. They're dividing the state up into four areas. They're looking for one provider in the four different parts of the state to manage the funds and to manage all of the activities related to initiatives to implement for the prevention and treatment of opioid addiction. And so that's some good news for Kansas and for a Kansas response to that serious issue.
It is encouraging to hear progress being made on several different fronts, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Some other things that were that happened this legislative cycle that are, I think, really good news include that the legislature did pass a bill into law for community crisis stabilization units. And these are the units we've been talking about for, it seems like, a year and a half or 2 years now. These would be facilities that would be run by the community mental health centers that would be allowed to hold people on an involuntary basis for up to 72 hours. You know, the initiative or the push to develop those kinds of crisis stabilization units really intensified as a result of the issues at Osawatomie State Hospital, with them losing their Medicare certification and then the moratorium that was implemented on admissions. And so now we do have that possibility of being able to move forward or gain some traction with the development of a community crisis stabilization unit. There are a couple of things that still need to happen in order for us to see really any real momentum throughout the state in that area. One is that KDADS will need to develop the regulations for community crisis stabilization units. And this law that passed did not include a funding source. And so even though the program can be set up and the stabilization units can be developed, there is still that issue of how are they going to be paid for. And so that's something that we'll continue to work on. I would imagine that we'll be looking at the question of what's the state's level of commitment in providing funding for such facilities and what will be the local need to also commit funding for the development of such a resource.
Funding always the concern.
Funding always is the concern.
And I know, of course, we did hear a little bit earlier in the week. I know you addressed Pottawatomie County commissioners, and I the flavor of it, I know breaking even really isn't enough. I mean, you're just barely, it kind of sounds like things have been pretty tough for you locally.
Yes, breaking even is not enough. And it, you know, the last couple of years have been the most difficult years for not only for Pawnee Mental Health, but for the community mental health system as a whole. And the dynamics that led up to that really involved a number of things. Certainly between 2008 and 2011, the state of Kansas cut its grant funding of the community mental health centers by 50%. And so that was an issue that we had to make adjustments to. And we had layoffs in 2009, and we had layoffs in 2010 to respond to that loss of revenue from the reduction in the grant funding. Now, the good news is that this legislative period, the legislature did allocate $7.5 million of money to return back to the community mental health centers from that was lost. And what was lost during that 2008 to 2011 period of time was $15 million. Mm-hmm. And so what they are returning starting July 1st is $7.5 million. We don't know yet how it will be divided between the community mental health centers. We're hoping that it will be given back in the same proportions that it was taken out. But that is something we're waiting to hear news about. So that was a dynamic that led to these last 2 years being the most difficult, certainly in my tenure. And I've been executive director of the organization since 2006. The other dynamic that contributed to us having the two most difficult years was that Medicaid was converted into a system called CanCare in 2013. And that was a program under which three managed care organizations took over the management of Medicaid. And in the first year, there weren't very many changes from how the Medicaid program had been administered in previous years. But in the second and third and fourth years, we've seen the managed care companies really work very assertively to try to manage or to reduce down authorizations for services. And so our organization has seen a significant reduction in the amount of services that are authorized by those managed care companies. Another significant issue that occurred was that the state eliminated its health home program. And that happened a year ago. The health home program was a program that was for individuals who had serious mental illnesses as well as other co-occurring chronic health conditions. There's research that shows that individuals with severe and persistent mental illnesses have lifespans that are about 25 years shorter than the average. And because of that recognition, there's an acknowledgement that something different needs to be done for individuals who have severe and persistent mental illnesses. And part of it is, you know, as with any health condition, again, whether we're talking about a mental health condition or a physical health condition, the earlier you can intervene, the earlier you can get treatment. As you engage in preventative activities or maintenance activities, you reduce the costs that are associated with having health conditions, you know, that deteriorate or health that declines. So the purpose of the health home program was to provide intense coordination of care for those individuals with serious mental illnesses and then other co-occurring chronic health conditions. And that program ended in 2016. And so it was just literally one thing after another. And, you know, I've said we were pedaling as fast as we could to get ahead of it, and it finally caught up with us. And so we've had to take a serious look at this question of what does it cost to provide the service that we do to the community, and then to address the fact that that the revenue that we can collect is not adequate to cover the cost of the service that we provide.
Well, many of those that need the assistance perhaps can't pay for it themselves. And I know with all the insurance issues, I mean, it's difficult in a lot of respects. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, 9:46, then we'll come back and visit this some more. Robin Cole with us today, Executive Director, Pawnee Mental Health, and you're listening to In Focus News Radio, KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged,